Thank you, Justin, and thank you, church, for allowing us to be a part of you, and especially on this very special Mother's Day. That's an amazing verse up there from Proverbs, and today we are here to honor all of the mothers and all of the women, the grandmothers as well. We want to honor you for what you do and appreciate you for all that you do, many times behind the scene that we don't even know that you're working so hard. I'm going to ask you if you would turn with me, if you have a Bible. If not, we're going to read from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. This is a very interesting and well-known story from the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, there are two stories that all four Gospels write about. Of course, one is what we call the passion story, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, his trial and suffering. That story is in all of the Gospels. But also, this story of the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle is in each one of the Gospels. And it's interesting that each one may give a slight different detail or add something new to the story. I'm going to read verse 1 through 15 in this story, and let's focus on certain characters in the story. Of course, we have the little boy, if you're familiar with the story. We have the crowds who are there. We learned that there are 5,000, but it says 5,000 men, not including the women and children. So this is a huge crowd of people there. And then we have the disciples, the 12 disciples that were with Jesus, and then Jesus himself. And we're going to look at these different characters in our story. Verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. So it was springtime, okay, right after the heavy rains of the winter in that part of the world, springtime. So we're going to learn there's a lot of grass growing there, green grass at that time. Verse 5, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, one of the disciples, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. Isn't that interesting detail? Plenty of grass, because in the Middle East it's dry and often there's not much grass to sit on. But this detail here in John. And they sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign, the miracle, the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say to one another, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew himself to a mountain by himself. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father God, we come into your presence, asking you, Lord, to take your word and apply it to our hearts. Let no one leave here today without finding nourishment from you, the bread of life, in this story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this story, we have the characters, as I said, the little boy, the crowds, the disciples, and Jesus himself. But I want to suggest that there is someone else and their work in this story that's not visible. It's like that invisible hand that's working in the background. Probably early that morning, there was a mother who woke up with many chores in the house, the cooking, the cleaning, the washing. And her little son had heard about Jesus that wasn't far away, that was coming to their part of the country where they lived. And he wanted to go hear the master. People had been talking about Jesus, the miracles, the things he said. He was famous already, like a rock star, we would say today. He wanted to be a part of that crowd. And his mother let him go. Who do you think, early that morning, packed him a little lunch? You know, we learned from this story that they were a very poor family. The detail in John says barley loaves. There were five barley loaves. Now, barley was the cereal made into bread for the poorest of the poor. It wasn't wheat. It was the cheapest. It's the kind of thing that horses eat. So this little boy came from a very poor family and two fish. Probably at that time they were pickled fish or salted, but pickled is probably what it was. And so that mother certainly that morning prepared that little lunch for her son to go hear Jesus. I bet if I asked the mothers here to raise their hands, how many times have you prepared lunch for your kids to go for a picnic? I bet every hand would raise. You know what I'm talking about. She was there, a part of that story. And what's so amazing is that her work early that morning affected so many people. She was completely unaware that what she did that morning was going to be multiplied and bless over 5,000 people. You know, I think of mothers are often that way. Most of the time, they're invisible, but working really hard. When we see the kids come to church dressed immaculately in their clean clothes, when we see them and what they already know and learn in school and parents help them with homework at home, we know the work that a mother goes through. Very often, those that work the hardest sometimes are invisible, aren't they? Right now, you know what's going on in the kitchen, don't you? We don't see them, but they're working hard right now to prepare a nice meal for us that real soon we're going to go in the Family Life Center. The doors are going to open, and we're going to have that meal all ready for us. Isn't it like that often in life? That mother had an impact that day on so many, many people. We are unaware how people who work silently in the background do bless our lives. I think right now, as I stand here at 10:30, how many other activities are going on in the church right now, even in other languages? How many people have worked hard to prepare this moment that we can be here? The music team, already days and days ago, they contacted me. They were working hard. In the back, the sound people. All of those people that are working hard to provide for us. We thank God for mothers who are always there working, silently mostly, and we want to honor you today. But besides the mother, there was the little boy that came. You know, when Andrew found him and came back and reported to Jesus, well, we found the little boy. We don't even know his name. And he's willing to give up his lunch. Now, I'm sure that little boy, when he gave up his lunch to Andrew, he wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen. But I bet he thought, uh-oh, there goes my lunch. It's gone out of my hands. But he was willing to do that. You know, when I read that, I can see the work of the parents. This little boy was generous, willing to share. Where does that come from? It's not human nature. Kids who are not taught don't like to share, right? Even we big ones don't. But parents have to teach that, instill in that godly truth in their children. That little boy also had no idea what was happening. He was willing to give up his lunch. And he took what he had, which was insignificant for the crowd, and he put it in the hands of the master. He took what little he had and it was placed in Jesus' hands, and then it was multiplied and blessed so many people. If you and I are like this little boy, willing to give up the little that we have, what we may consider insignificant, and put it in his hands, he can multiply the blessing to so many people. So many times we are reticent to give up what we have. Maybe we think it's inadequate. We are inadequate. But our talents, our gifts in Jesus' hands can bless many. Let me share from a personal experience. My wife and I started out as missionaries among the Chinese people. We've worked for over 40 years in several continents with Chinese in southern China, Hong Kong and Macau, and then overseas, the Huaqiao Chinese. When I arrived in Hong Kong in 1980 for the first time, we studied almost 2 years at the Chinese University in Hong Kong, studied Cantonese. And I tell you, Cantonese is not easy to learn. We had a medical clinic in Macau with two doctors, and one of them told me, listen, medical school was easy compared to Cantonese, is what he said. Well, we studied 2 years in Hong Kong, and then we moved over to the tiny Portuguese colony of Macau, where I was teaching in the Baptist high school. I was also like an intern working with an old Chinese Baptist church under a Chinese pastor. And after about 6 months, he said, you know, it's time for you to preach. And I thought, oh, wait a minute, I'm still studying Chinese full time, you know. I thought, give me another 10 years or so and maybe I'll be able to preach, you know. And he said, no, let's set your date, you know, just a few weeks down the line. And oh, boy, I thought, well, I got to get busy and work hard with my language tutor. So we worked at home and we studied and got there ready. And this was an old Baptist church, over 100 years old, old building. And I got there and I was just in a panic, you know. I thought, oh, no, I don't want to make something irreverent, you know, everybody would be laughing in the church service. We're supposed to say something that brings people closer to the Lord. But I'd already worked with youth groups in the youth camp, and I had made some really big boo-boos, make the kids, you know, really laugh. I remember saying one time in a youth group that I wanted to say that Jesus is God's only son. Yi Ji, you know, Jesus is God's only son. And I got to the word Yi Ji, and I substituted, and I said, Ye Ji. Now, the ones who laugh know that I said coconut. Jesus is God's only coconut. And I thought, oh my goodness, in the worship service, I can't talk like that, you know. We want to be reverent. And I got up there on the stage, big, tall stage up here, and I looked at the congregation, and it was one of those hot, humid Hong Kong days. You know what I'm talking about, right? No air conditioning at all. And of all things, there was this fan right above me that was going around and blowing my notes away. You know, I didn't want to lose my notes, or I certainly wouldn't be able to say anything. I got up there, really, you could almost see my heart beating, you know. Then I thought, Lord, I don't have many skills. What I have is very inadequate. Please take the little I have and bless those people today. Well, I got up there and I started speaking. And it was like I stood aside, and the Lord just took over and answered my prayer and spoke through me, and I could tell they could understand. That was the biggest miracle that day. But we can all be like that. Have you ever felt inadequate with what you have as a witness, to witness to somebody? I can't do that. I can't sing like they do or play music like they do or preach like the pastor. But whatever you have placed in Jesus' hands can bless so many people. So let me challenge you to be like that little boy. Take what little you have and put them in Jesus' hands. Let's look at the crowds now. Let's move over to look at the crowds. We learned something about them in verse 2. It says here a large crowd of people followed Jesus. Why? Because they had seen the signs he had performed, these miracles. I mean, this was like entertainment for them. And when the story is finished, and when we keep on reading in John, these people went to the next place where Jesus was, and he saw them coming. And here's what Jesus said in verse 26. He said, "You crowd, you're looking for me not because of the sign, but because you ate to your fill." These people wanted free lunch, didn't they? They even wanted to take Jesus and make him a political king. They were not following out of love and dedication. And today there are the crowds like that, trying to get what they can out of the church, out of Christians. Not sincere. We have to be on guard. We have to love. We have to share. But we need to be careful. We need to be wise as well. That was the crowd. What about the disciples? We see here that Philip already had noticed there was a problem. Oh my goodness, there's so many people, and it will take a half a year's wage to feed them? What are we going to do? You see, Philip could see the problem, but could not see the solution. Isn't it like that quite often with us, you know? We see the problem and go, ayah, you know? What are we going to, oh, it's very Guangdongwa, isn't it? Yeah. That's, what are we going to do? What's the solution to this problem? And it says here, it's very interesting here, it says Jesus asked them to test them. But Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You see, Jesus doesn't see the problem because he's already got the solution. You've got a problem, Jesus has got your solution already. Come to him in his presence and beseech him, Lord, give me wisdom. Guide me. You already know. You're ahead of me. Follow Jesus and let him show you the way. He already had their solution for all those people that day. And he's got a solution for you and all the things that you may want to call problems. Of course, modern times, we're not supposed to say that. We say issues, right? So issues. Jesus has the solution for you and for me and for others. And we, as followers of Jesus, can lead others to see the way that we take our life. Now let's look finally at Jesus himself, our master. He was there, cool as a cucumber, as you'd say in modern English, you know? No stress, all those thousands and thousands of people coming. And he had compassion on them, already seeing that they have a need for nourishment. They're tired and walking. Sheep without a shepherd is what they're called. They came to hear, to be fed. And Jesus had compassion on them. What a wonderful Savior we have. You know, Jesus can take whatever weakness you have and make it into a strength. Something very common. We think of stories of other miracles. Remember the blind man? Jesus bent down and spit on the ground and made that little bit of mud, you know, yucky stuff, and put it on the man's eyes. You know, he didn't say a magical formula, didn't wave his hands, no special spot that he had to go to. Just wash that off with faith. Jesus took something really common. Kind of, we'd think we wouldn't want to be there. And because that something very common was added with the ingredient of faith and obedience, he saw again. He regained his sight. Wouldn't that be wonderful? When we take something common and put it in Jesus' hands. There's also a story from the Old Testament. A story about the general of the Syrian army who got leprosy, called Naaman. Isn't that interesting? If we open our newspaper today, we'll probably read something about the Syrian army and the war going on in Syria. You know, all these thousands of years. Nothing changes. The wars and Syrian general. Well, in the Old Testament, this general heard from the little girl in his household, his wife's slave, the little girl, insignificant, unimportant, but she said the truth. And she said, if you go to my country, there are men of God who can heal you. See those words of faith from a little girl and the huge impact? And Naaman went and found the prophet Elisha. Elisha didn't really even come out to talk to him. Just sent a message, you know, go down to the Jordan River and bathe and wash. And you know, what was the reaction of Naaman? The Jordan? Oh, little dirty, nasty river. My country, we've got these beautiful rivers, clean, crystal clear water. Why can't I go there? But something small and insignificant with faith. And finally, he was persuaded and he was healed. My brothers and sisters, let us come to Jesus and place our lives in his hands. And mothers, thank you again for what you have done, often unappreciated, invisible and out of sight. We thank the mother in the story that brought that blessing to so many, and we thank the mothers here today for blessing us. Amen.